Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition of the program. Today being July the 16th, 2015, we are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming the show on the fine website here at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. We've got all of our podcasts and our shows archived for you that you can listen to 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. As usual, we have a very full hour. We're going to begin with a conversation with Oro Valley's Mayor Satish Hiremath. Dr. Hiremath will be with us on the live line in a moment. Then a conversation with Humane Borders founder Reverend Robin Hoover. Dr. Hoover founded Humane Borders 15 years ago. We'll wrap up the show talking, believe it or not, it's football season coming up very soon. We'll talk Wildcat football and how the Cats are scheduled and how they look for in the preseason, what folks are talking about. Anthony Jimeno, AG, will be with us also on the live line. The number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Now let's go to Oro Valley and the dental offices of Dr. Satish Hiremath, the mayor of the town of Oro Valley. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. How do you take the news that you and three of your colleagues on the council will have your names on a ballot in November, and folks will have a chance to either say yes or no to continuing your service in office? How do you react to that?
Well, you know, this has obviously been a long time coming, you know, because the process is fairly lengthy. So we all knew that we were going to be on the ballot because the amount of signatures required to put us on a ballot is not insurmountable. But, you know, to be honest with you, I actually look forward to it because, you know, all the accolades that Oro Valley has received since 2010 to now being fiscally responsible with the budget, having a balanced budget, worst economic recession in the country's history, reinvesting another $8 million, the ingress of arts and culture, the public safety that we have, the roads we drive on. I mean, all that's been under my leadership as mayor and the leadership of Vice Mayor Lou Waters, Mary Snyder, and Joe Hornet. But, you know, sometimes, you know, if you don't really draw awareness to it, people take it for granted. So we feel we have a very strong, good story to tell, and I think the people will react very favorable to us and keep us in office.
Well, the group that initiated this recall process, this came out of the town council voting 4-3 in December to buy the El Conquistador Country Club and to increase the sales tax by a half cent to make money for the renovation projects to turn it into a community center and a recreation center. What do you say to these people that say that you folks really kind of jumped the gun on this project?
Well, you know, if by jumping the gun, the project started in June, the conversation started in June, and it culminated on December 17th, if 6 months is jumping the gun, then I guess we jumped the gun. But, you know, it's one of those things where the whole premise and the whole foundation of why the recall process is occurring is based on an untruth. And the untruth is that the it was a backroom deal, and really nobody knew about it except me, and I was the one who was actually working the backroom deal with the town manager. Again, if the whole premise or the whole foundation is based on an untruth, and the reality is that all seven council members knew, and I was directed by the council to go out and explore the possibilities of acquiring the El Conquistador Country Club to use as a community center, then you take that away, then what's their foundation? Unfortunately, you know, it still works. The negativity, the slandering, the untruths, it still works federally, it still works statewide, and it works locally. But, you know, and then, you know, you ask yourself, and I kind of make a running joke about it, is if I was so cloak and dagger, then how do they find out about it? So the truth of the matter is, Bill, is that there is a process. According to state law, you have to have two public hearings. We had the two public hearings. We had executive session meetings, according to state law, which allow us to discuss land acquisition, which this was. And so we followed the process fair and square. We had the public input, and to a lot of people, they didn't like the compressed time frame. But the reality is that there were developers behind us who would have been offered had we not made the offer to purchase on the 17th of December. And keep in mind, we didn't have to vote yes. If we didn't vote yes, I'm fairly certain that the land that you see, the 320-some acres, a portion of that would be developed and the golf courses would have went brown.
Yeah, and the recall folks are alleging that the Tucson-based HSL properties that you and these other council members that are the subject of the recall had cut some kind of a deal because money had been given to your campaigns. I think that's the way they put it.
Well, and again, you know, it just depends on how you want to spin the rhetoric according to what's going to be beneficial to your side. So why don't they pick on the kids who literally gave me $25 out of their piggy bank out of my patient base because they knew I was going to support either more ball fields or skate parks, bike parks, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so people are going to say what they want to say, but I'm a firm believer that, we govern, we foregovern for the greater good of the community.
So you're actually, as you say, you're welcoming this to kind of be a referendum on where Oro Valley is right now. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I was raised to just continue to try to do the right things, to be a positive influence and to make a tangible positive difference in my surroundings. And so when you do that and you're pretty driven to do that and that's all you focus on, what's the next positive thing that we can do? What gets lost in that translation is just kind of stopping to smell the roses and letting everybody know, you know, it's good for a reason. And, you know, that's the difference between a professional, whether it's athletics or whether it's an everyday workforce. The difference between a professional and an amateur is a professional makes it appear that anybody can do it. And the reality is anybody can't do it. The other part of that is that our success has been built on relationships. And if you take a look at Mary Snyder, Lou Waters, Joe Hornet, and myself, we've developed solid relationships that have allowed the town of Oro Valley to receive the accolades that we have. Matter of fact, just Huffington Post released an article today saying that Oro Valley, Arizona was one of the top five best places to retire in the country. And Huffington Post, depending on who you ask, that's a pretty nice accolade coming from a entity like that. And so, again, we go to the trouble to create the relationships. Now, the other side, you know, when they throw rhetoric like, well, we're not going to take money from special interest groups, well, how is that civility? Already you're alienating the very people and you're running on a civility platform. So I think once people start to put two and two together and they see the rhetoric and what it is that they want to do and really the path that we four have taken Oro Valley since 2010, I don't think that there's going to be an issue of keeping us in office at all.
So what happens now with the country club?
Well, right now it's the community center. The town of Oro Valley officially acquired it May 2nd, 2015. And so we started putting money into it as of July 1st because our budget starts in July 1st. So to give you an indication of the success that we've had so far, we had projected about 200 memberships for the entire year, May 2015 to May 2016. The month of May bill alone, we received 176 new membership signups. And so we pretty much eclipsed in 1 month what our yearly goal is. And I will tell you, that right there tells me, as well as what it should tell the skeptics, that this was long-awaited, much-needed, and it's really thriving. One of the most consistent comments that I hear is that there's such an energy now to a place that had the potential, but nobody really took the time to invest in it. But now that the town is investing in it, it's an incredible amount of energy up there. You cannot put a child into a summer camp. We're all full.
Really? So what happens? So it's now the community center is up and running right now. Is that Is that
what I mean? It is up and running. And see, that was the beauty of it for, you know, purchasing 320 some acres with a building that we now use as a community center for $1 million interest free over 3 years, is that it was a turnkey operation. And so this over the course of the summer, we're going to freshen it up a little bit. We have some ADA compliance issues that we're programming into the first year. But it's really just kind of taking and gathering public input and seeing what else that they want to see in their community center. So the public process has begun. There was a Meet the Architect last month. And a lot of good positive feedback came out of that. And so now it's just a matter of really fully converting a country club atmosphere into a community center atmosphere.
Okay, Mayor Satish Hiremath with us, who calling us, taking a few moments from his very popular dental practice there. Tell your patient who is next that we appreciate maybe a slight delay there. Thanks a lot, Dr. Hiremath.
My pleasure, Bill. You guys have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Satish Hiremath, who is the mayor of Oro Valley, he will be on the ballot November 3rd, along with three town council members. They will be the object of a recall election. We'll be speaking with Reverend Hoover, the founder of Humane Borders, after I tell you, and gladly so, that Silver City in Grant County is one of our longtime sponsors. They have a lot going on this weekend, especially. The Hummingbird Festival is at the Little Toad Creek Inn on Saturday and Sunday, and there is a Fiber Arts Festival with workshops, quilts, and demonstrations in historic downtown Silver City. You can find out about all the activities, the great places to stay in the Silver City area, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. And you can find out about the many things to do at www.southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back.
Do bees worry you? Do bees scare you? Would you like to know a pest control company who can give you options in dealing with this situation? How about bee removal? Or would you prefer to send them straight to bee heaven? Five Star Termite and Pest Control can give you these options. Call the professionals at Five Star, 886-0045, fivestar-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and we welcome to the Buckmaster Show Dr. Robin Hoover. Reverend Hoover is now officially retired as a longtime Disciples of Christ pastor, but of course he is probably best known for what happened 15 years ago here in Tucson. He created the organization Humane Borders, which is a faith-based nonprofit organization with a mission to take death out of the immigrant equation. Dr. Hoover, how are you? It's good to see you, and welcome back to Tucson.
Glad to be here. It's boxes and suitcases right now, but that's how fresh I am back to Tucson, and glad to be here.
You spent about 3 or 4 years over in West Texas, correct?
I was actually in the Fort Worth area. It's a little. They had 46 inches of rain, so that's hardly West Texas.
So you decided you missed the old Pueblo and wanted to get back.
That's right. I want to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this 15-year anniversary with Humane Borders. You are no longer associated with Humane Borders. About 5 years ago, the two organizations, your organization, kind of went your separate ways. But I'm curious, why did you found Humane Borders, and how have things changed for, hopefully, the better since that period?
Humane Borders was founded in order to respond to the plight of the migrants crossing the border who were constantly in peril, and to advocate for changes in the policies that were pushing them there in the first place, because these were not the traditional crossing routes. And so, Humane Borders got up to the point where it was doing $250,000 worth of humanitarian work every year, and had, scores and hundreds of volunteers, and people came from all around the world. We had interns, we had academics, we had everybody. Other groups have flourished, and Humane Borders is continuing to take on its task. Far fewer numbers of people are crossing right now than they were before.
You said that we were talking before we went on the air that there has been a dramatic decline this summer, in particular, in the deaths in the desert.
There's a dramatic decline in the number of persons that are attempting to cross. If you go into Altar, Sonora, which I was there very recently, you used to be able to go in there and count 4,000 migrants sitting around the square, and you'd be good to see two dozen.
And so the obvious question, why?
There's a lot of reasons. The economy in Mexico has improved in some regards. It kind of depends on who you're talking to and where you're located. The exodus from Central America has down to a trickle now, in large part because of U.S. pressure on Mexico and Plan Sur to an intergovernmental agreement to do law enforcement efforts that I think are oppressing people, trying to keep a lid on Central America. People are actually fleeing and going to other places like Costa Rica, Nicaragua, to get out of some Honduras and El Salvador. So life is still difficult for people, but fewer people are actually arriving all the way to the northern border.
Robin Hoover is with us, Reverend Hoover, 790-2040, if you have any questions or comments. Dr. Hoover is a very sought-after lecturer on both sides of the border. He speaks regularly around the United States about what he believes is the solution to America's immigration problem. He also is invited quite often to speak in Mexico. He's got a couple of appointments coming up in Mexico City. So, what is the Robin Hoover solution to this ongoing problem of immigration?
Well, we should first, and Humane Borders said this 15 years ago, should come out and provide some sort of legal status for the people that are here. I didn't say path to citizenship, and I actually argue in the face of some of my liberal folks that say that's the Holy mm-hmm. Grail. But there should some sort of legal status should be provided for people that are here so that we can find out who they are, get them out of the shadows, let them share in the joys and costs of being here, etc. But the thing that I'm probably known the most for is people spend a lot of money to get here. They pay coyotes or somebody to get here, traffic them north or incur some sort of indebtedness. I'd like for them to take that money and put it into a bond, if you will, a performance bond. And so once they're certified by their country to be here, that we would take out 10% of their gross and add to that and continue to add to it until the time of their visa has expired. And so 24 months, 36 months, they're picking up $6,000, $12,000. They pick up their money and they go home. Typically, these people are coming from some of the poorest parts of Mexico or Central America. They will take that money back, spend it there. They will take their skills, knowledge, and ability, their English proficiency, their ability to participate in an economy with them, and so create new demands. And so we would have, for the first time, an economic incentive to comply with the terms of the visa, because if the money is not picked up and you don't return, then the money is forfeited to law enforcement. And so in effect, the migrants are paying for their own law enforcement and the border enforcement, and that's just much more logical than the hemorrhage that we're currently paying with Border Patrol.
All right, let's go now to 790-2040. Dan has called us on the live line, would like to speak with Reverend Hoover. Go ahead, Dan.
I have a comment and a question. When my competition in business hires these illegal, semi-legal people at half wages, then I'm forced to lay off Americans and hire the same underpaid people. I have to stay in business. That's my comment. I don't know if you've ever been in business. And secondly, I'd like to know, when all these freedom-loving people are coming up from Mexico to this country to get freedom and goodies, I suppose, then all we're leaving in Mexico is going to be the people who are happy with the government that they have, and it will never improve.
Okay. Sounds like a two-part question there, Dr. Hoover. First of all, have you ever done any business yourself?
I've done business. I've met payrolls, and I was a commercial construction superintendent when I was 23, and I know about competition and participation in building trades and that sort of thing. There's some truth to everything that you've just mentioned. There's also, if you have people that are really able to do it, they end up usually drawing about the same wages. Very few people work for minimum wage that come over here from Mexico. Most of them are working, even if you go down here on the south side, some of the labor areas in south side Tucson, you'll find that virtually it's hard to find anybody that would work for less than $12, $14 an hour today, even here in Tucson's economy. So
there was also a comment about what's the folks that are left.
Right. If you try to keep if you say, well, we'll keep a lid on it, then people will eventually explode. I don't think that's true either. I'm a PhD political scientist, and we've had a number of places that are very repressive, and even though they move still into market economies, China is one of those. So it's a very complicated thing. What I would like to see and what my plan creates is to restore circularity where people can come here and participate for a period of time, extend back into Mexico, take their resources and their skills and knowledge. It's better for us to not have poor neighbors. Other persons can work on the democracy questions.
Dr. Hoover is going to make an announcement about his plans here in Tucson. Why don't we take a break right here, and then we'll take the mid-show break, and then we'll come back with Reverend Hoover talking about what's next for him here in Tucson. That's coming up on The Buckmaster Show. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview is with Tucson's new city manager, Michael Ortega. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Tim Steller of The Star. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, and always on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with Dr. Robin Hoover, Reverend Hoover. He is an ordained minister in the Disciples of Christ. He has pastored over 6 congregations in his entire career pastoring. And of course, he is very notably known for founding Humane Borders, a faith-based nonprofit organization that's based still here in Tucson with a mission to take death out of the immigrant equation. Reverend Hoover, when you founded Humane Borders, there was a lot of controversy, and you don't hear about it much anymore, about placing water in the desert and folks saying, well, this is just encouraging illegal immigrants. What do you say to those people?
Well, I don't think we ever encouraged anybody to come over here and get some CAP water. I do distinctly remember one woman said, oh, you're going to put so many blue flags out there, it's going to look like a Walmart parking lot, something like of that nature. But
blue light special.
Yeah,
right.
We put out water in strategic locations, some in conversations with federal land managers, state land managers, with Border Patrol. This was a matter of public discourse where we were all trying to scramble and find something, a way to respond in a humane way. So If somebody wants to go out there and advocate for the death of the migrants, I think that's rather unseemly. I'll choose my path.
What is the next step now for you? You are back here in Tucson. This will be your permanent residence after living in Texas for 3 or 4 years. So what's the plan?
Well, I'm working on a book, which is a social ethic for migration, and that is well underway. Since it was announced that I was coming back this way, the National Commission on Human Rights and the State Department in Mexico both have set up meetings for me in August. We'll be doing some lectures in September. I'm going to be making another trip with some announcements in January to Mexico City. There are a number of activists here that want to pursue things related to the border, some research, some public service announcement type of pieces of video where we can educate migrants in the shelters all the way down to Central America in Mexico.
There has been efforts in that regard. Have those worked? Are they? Is there any evidence that they're working?
When the United States government gets involved with that, they usually scare people. In recent attempts, there's been better saying, you know, these are the things that you're likely to experience. We want to get more involved and provide not just a don't go message, but if you go, be aware of this much stuff. And so maybe a 30-minute a thing, you know. We tested some of these narratives that we're actually working on in Altar in just a few months ago. And so we had women up there telling other women, you know, if you're in your menstrual cycle, do not try to go across the desert, because we have found right here, you know, at the health sciences folks in Tucson and Pima County, that's an extra stressor on your body. Don't do that. So we want to give them real solid knowledge. The most basic level of ethics is informed consent, and these people should know what's in front of them.
Is Altar Sonora still kind of the staging point?
It's really kind of shifting. There's efforts. More people, I suspect, are coming back through a couple of the southeastern Arizona areas right now, and a lot of people have moved over to Caborca, which is just to the west of Altar. I visited El Rito, which is on the border between Sonora and the Tonawat Dom Indian Nation not too long ago. It's still pretty active. So there's a lot of people coming through the Tonawat Dom Reservation still.
You have a company that you founded in the state of Texas.
Yes.
What is the name of that company?
It's one year old. It is Immigrant Safety and Service. Mm-hmm. There's some legal kinds of issues. I'm not sure what all we're going to do there, but a new corporation is going to probably be founded here in Arizona with a similar mission to look into the panoply of things that are available for us to be supporters of human migration, in the sense of that the people fare well in this process somehow. There's education, there's economic, there's legal services, there's all kinds of social services things to be explored.
Donald Trump's message certainly is resonating with a lot of people in the United States about building a wall on the border. And when you hear that, he's obviously touching a nerve, isn't he?
Well, he is touching a nerve. But a lot of, you know, we've been raising questions about racism and law enforcement and other kinds of things. And so now there is seemingly it's permissible to be racist towards Mexico and to do so with political policy consequences. And it's very unseemly. It's unpractical. You know, there's 2.5 million people living in Mexico, most U.S. citizens, most of whom don't have a legal status to be there. They may have had a visa, but they've overstayed and they continue to work. They're walking around the plaza in San Miguel de Allende and handing the mayor a $100 bill and saying, you know, don't turn me in this week.
So you're saying expats, so-called expats, but sure. They're still American citizens.
Sure.
I've never heard that number before, but you're saying as many as 2.5 million Americans
right.
are living south of the border in places like the wonderful colonial city of San Miguel Allende.
Sure, absolutely. like Chapala has over 50,000 people that are regular residents that are U.S. expats. Puerto Vallarta is a huge area. So
Mexican officials are kind of turning the other cheek on that.
And yeah. There's a lot more money involved with the U.S. being there illegally than there is money involved here. So,
all right. Let's go back to the live line. Ingrid would like to speak with Dr. Robin Hoover. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon, Reverend. I'd like to know what work you've done in Mexico to alleviate the plight of the people there, what conversations you may have had with the Mexican government to raise up the quality of life of so many of those people and to for the government to address the drug problem over there. I'll hang up and listen to you from my radio. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. It's very difficult for a U.S. citizen to participate in intergovernmental affairs with Mexico. There are prohibitions. But because of my relationship with the National Commission on Human Rights, I'm an award recipient from them, et cetera. I participate in conferences and so forth where we hold up to the Mexican people the kinds of things that they should be doing for their own citizens. We have worked with in conferences with the Scalabrini, which is an order of the Catholic Church, and they operate eight or so shelters in across Mexico, and they have they're very vocal in the critiques of the Mexican government, and I have participated in those kinds of things. So I am actively working in advocacy for the poorest of the poor in Chiapas and in coming up from Central America. So
in other words, you are actively working to improve the plight of the Mexican people.
Yes.
Going back to some of the reasoning for the drop in illegal immigration, what role has the huge influx of Border Patrol agents had in that?
Well, it has to have an effect. I mean, I think we're at a point of diminishing returns in terms of the number of the personnel and the amount of resources. We've recently severely critiqued the drones and so forth. We can't figure out how they're working. But, perhaps we've reached the pinnacle of what can be done from a law enforcement perspective. But as obviously, over the last 15 years, we saw that enforcement patterns diverted where people crossed. It's most of the holes are filled now. That was the goal of David Aguilar. He says, you know, give me enough time, give me enough resources. When he was the sector chief here, that this would come to a halt. Well, it hasn't come to a halt, and drugs and other contraband come up here. And then recently they announced the unsealing of court records in federal district court in Chicago that, we've been in bed with the Sinaloa cartel, and a lot of these drugs have been coming across here in collusion with our own DEA, because by doing that, we're getting information on these other cartels and finding out who the bad guys are in the Mexican government. And so there's just no end to it. So law enforcement has played a role. The economy has played a role. The expense and the peril of crossing the border has been had a effect to diminish the number of people coming. Enforcement in southern Arizona, at the great human rights cost, has diminished some of the people coming from Central America.
790-2040 is our Buckmaster Show live line. Let's see if we can work in one more call before we let Reverend Hoover go. John is waiting for us. John, go ahead.
Hello, Pastor Hoover. This is John, cousin.
Oh, hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to say hello. I was excited to hear you were going to be a guest on KBOI. It's the only station I listen to. And I just wanted to say we're Carmen and I are celebrating our 11th year now volunteering with Humane Borders.
Wow,
and extremely rewarding, and we just wanted to thank you for getting us involved in it.
Thank you, and thank you for your work.
Thank you very much, John, calling us at 790-2040. So Reverend Hoover will be preparing for his next organization, and he's going to be very busy with that in the coming months, I guess, right,
Reverend Hoover?
So before we wrap this up, we talked a little bit about the deaths in the desert has certainly diminished. I mean, one death is one death too many. Is the Border Patrol kind of, I don't know, how do I put this, as far as the water issue in the desert, are they cooperating with the humanitarian efforts? That would be my question.
I would say they're probably more friendly to it today than they were many years ago, because there's many times when they, you may remember a time when they said, oh, the water was so hot it's killing migrants or something, you know, and they stuck a thermometer in it, it was 98 degrees blood temperature, so that wasn't the issue. I do want to do one shout out here on this 15 years later. We met at the Pima Friends Meeting House when we founded Humane Borders, and the very next night I went back to my congregation, First Christian Church, and I told the board, I said, this is important. This is right down my alley. I said, I'm going to give all of my free time to this. How much of my time do you want to give? And one of the elders of the church, a local physician, said 50%. And everybody kind of stunned and looked around.
50%.
So First Christian Church is the reason Humane Borders exists the way it exists. And over 50% of my time went to the normal operations of Humane Borders as a gift to that corporation. And that's not an insignificant gift. If you dollar denominate all of that, mm-hmm. First Christian Church is and was for 10 years the single largest donor to Humane Borders, far, far exceeding what Pima County or any other entity or denomination gave.
All right.
So it's a big deal.
Robin Hoover, thank you very much. People can find out more about you at robinhoover.com. Dr. Hoover, thanks a lot, and good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Robin Hoover with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk Wildcats sports. Anthony Gimeno is waiting on the live line. It is football season, believe it or not, just around the corner. Back right after this.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Anthony Jimeno is a sports journalist who has, for the last two decades, covered UA athletics. Anthony covered the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star, TucsonCitizen.com, and most recently, he provides sports content for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. He's the co-author of a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He also was the host and hopefully will be so again next season for Wildcat basketball pre- and post-game shows on AM 1290, The Fan. Anthony, how are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you again, Bill.
You know, when I was a kid, my older brother and I would wait and wait for Street and Smith, the football magazine at the time that came out and have all the predictions. We were so anxious to find out how our Northwestern Wildcats would be doing. And unfortunately, it was always kind of a disappointing season. But
never very well.
No, it's that time of year when, you know, where everybody's got high hopes. And the Wildcats have done, I guess, kind of middle of the pack to maybe a bit above that in some of these preseason polling.
Yeah, they are. Arizona's in the top 25 in some preseason publications, including the one I do for Lindy's Sports Annuals. I am pretty much in charge of the rankings and the editorial content, and I put Arizona 19th in the nation. Like I said, in some polls they're out of the top 25 entirely. I haven't seen anybody pick them to repeat to win the South, mm-hmm. the Pac-12 South. And part of that is the Pac-12 South is absolutely loaded. USC looks to be resurgent, and they have a senior quarterback who should be one of the best in the country. UCLA is extremely talented, but they have quarterback questions. ASU has been very good for the past few years under Todd Graham, and they should be there as well. Utah, again, should be very tough to beat. So the division is stacked, and Arizona's right there. I don't think they have to take a back seat to any of those teams. It's just hard to actually predict them to repeat. And some of that has to do with last year was kind of magical. Mm-hmm. There were some great finishes, especially during the regular season, most of which went Arizona's way. And some of us kind of believe in the law of averages. that stuff like that catches up with you, good and bad, one year to the next. Bad luck one year, good luck the next year, and vice versa.
In many ways, it's a shame the season didn't end at Arizona Stadium after the ASU game, because then the next two games were disappointments. But there were some real magic moments. There was kind of that the Hail Mary play that won a game. And then there was that incredible, I guess, really what I would say would be horrible coaching from the point of Washington, when they just had to run out the clock and take a knee. Instead, they hand the ball off and fumble. The Cats go on to win. I mean, there were a couple of finishes like that.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of those games, I think in games decided by like 7 points or 8 points or fewer, Arizona in the regular season, they were about 6-1, maybe 5-1. So those close games went Arizona's way. And it's not all just random, let's leave it up to the football gods. And part of the reason Arizona was so good in close games is because, as they like to say, they may very well be the best conditioned team in the country, which means that they still look fresh in the fourth quarter when other teams are just sucking air. And we saw that in the Cal game that ended in the Hail Mary. Arizona just absolutely had Cal on its heels all through the fourth quarter and was able to make this stupendous comeback. So part of it is by design that they are in a very good shape, and certainly there's something to be said about the intangibles of they really believed. You know, you can't really discount the faith factor, and that when things looked bad for the team last year in the first half or in the second half, they still thought they could win. And even in the Fiesta Bowl where they lost to Boise State, they nearly pulled off the comeback, mm-hmm. and a play or two goes a different way, and they end up winning that game.
The schedule is brutal this year. There are very few teams in the country that don't get a bye, a week off, and that has to be a consideration.
Rich Rodriguez has talked about this a lot. It was one of his favorite talking points in the spring, like, how can this happen? How can we be playing the 12 games in a row without a bye? Arizona's bye technically comes after their season-ending game against Arizona State. So if they do win the South and play in the Pac-12 title game, they'll have a bye between that game. Otherwise, it really just goes to waste. And the way the Pac-12 schedule is set, every team is kind of run into that sooner or later. It just is Arizona's turn this year. But that's a tough road to play 12 games in 12 weeks. Last year we saw with games on Thursday and bye weeks that there was certainly a lot of breaks and rest for the team. So Rich Rodriguez is going to have to dip into his depth a little bit more on offense and defense, which is something he really hasn't done yet and hasn't felt comfortable doing. But now that some more of his guys are in the program, guys he recruited and bringing along, he's going to have to. And I think by the way he's talking, he's a little more ready to do that, where he's a little more comfortable putting in the second string linebackers as opposed to leaving them out there for 100 plays a game. So that's certainly going to be something to watch through the course of the season.
Okay, I've only got about a minute, maybe a minute and a half. Is Solomon the guy? Is he going to be the quarterback?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I know Rich wouldn't have minded competition in the spring. Part of that is Anu kind of took another step. He looked a little physically better, and I think he really took some of his failures late in the season to heart. So he looked focused mentally and physically better prepared in the spring. So he's got the experience, so he's going to be the guy.
And when we do these preseason polls, there's usually a game or two that they say point to kind of make or break games. Can you give me a couple of those real quickly, AG, before you go?
Yeah, well, Arizona's going to start off with three pretty easy non-conference games, and then, boom, play at home against UCLA to open the conference season on September 26th. And as a Pac-12 South game, and loser, you don't want to get behind the eight ball so early in the season. So certainly the Pac-12 opener against UCLA, and then you know, the finish is going to be very difficult too. At USC, home versus Utah, and then at ASU.
Whoa, that is very difficult. Okay, Lindy's, which you worked so hard on, that's available everywhere, right?
That is available on newsstands, yes.
Okay, AG Anthony Jimeno, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at the Tucson Now, TucsonNewsNow.com website. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill.
Anthony Jimeno giving a preview of what should be a pretty good Wildcat year if they can get through some of that brutal scheduling that they've got. But AG saying that he picked them to be 19th. In the country in his preseason polling. So that is very encouraging. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show this Thursday. We're going to talk tomorrow with the new city manager. We'll hear from him. Mr. Ortega, Michael Ortega, will be with us for our Friday Focus interview. That's on Buckmaster at 12:04 tomorrow. But before that, got 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Then, of course, 3 hours of local programming from 6 to 9 with the Wake Up Tucson Show and the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back with you again for our Friday Focus interview with Michael Ortega at 12:04 tomorrow. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.